Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about a case involving a hill walker who was awarded €40,000 after sustaining an injury on a mountain boardwalk, and possible concerns here for landowners. We'll have an update on GLOS and commonage management plans and ANC payments. But first, some details about this week's IFA presidential election results. Well, as you probably know, Joe Healy from Galway was elected as the new president of Ireland's largest farming organisation. Donegal chairman Michael Chance was one of the first county executive chairmen to back him when he sought nominations. In the first count, Healy amassed 14,122 votes, more than the combined total of Henry Burns from Leash, who got 8,540 votes, and Flor McCarthy from Kerry, who got 5,431 votes. A breakdown of the votes shows that McCarthy only came out on top in his native Kerry and Cork West. Burns won Monaghan, Longford, Westmeath, Offaly, Leash, Kildare, Wicklow, Carlow and Kilkenny. Healy won the rest. In Donegal, 455 votes were cast, with Healy getting 289, Burns got 142 and McCarthy got 24. In the contest for Deputy President, Richard Kennedy from Limerick emerged victorious, defeating Pat Farrell of Kildare and Nigel Renahan of Monaghan. Well, my guest this evening is IFA Hill Committee Chairman Pat Dunn, and we've been talking about a number of issues. A few eyebrows were raised during the week when news spread about a court award of some €40,000 in damages to a hill walker who was injured when she fell on what was described as a rotting boardwalk in the Wicklow Mountains. Now, of course, whilst this is concerning the National Parks and Wildlife Service, no doubt it has sparked concern amongst landowners.
Yes. Well, I suppose maybe just to give a bit of background to people who may not mightn't fully understand the situation. This happened on what's known as the Wicklow Way. The Wicklow Way is a long-distance walk. I think it's 52 miles in length, starting in Rathfarnham in the Dublin suburbs, runs right through the Wicklow Mountains, and it ends up in Clonegal in County Carlow. So it covers a huge area of the Wicklow Mountains, and it's walked by thousands and thousands of walkers, and a huge percentage of those walkers are continental, if you know, people who come into the country, and it brings a huge amount of benefit to the economy, you know, the rural economy of County Wicklow and surrounding areas. But the walk itself, or the Wicklow Way itself, it covers, like, it crosses a whole variety. Like, there's Quilter land, there's privately owned land, there's public roadways, and Wicklow Mountains National Park, it covers some of their land. But the stretch where the accident happened, where the lady fell, it's on a stretch of the National Park land. And back, it's a good many years ago now, the Wicklow Mountains National Park, they put in the boardwalk because there was huge erosion in the area because of the sheer volume of people who was walking the walk. And they put in this boardwalk. And the lady apparently fell on this boardwalk, and this is where the claim arose.
And obviously, from a Donegal perspective, like Wicklow, we've Glenveagh National Park up here, there's the Ulster Way, there's the development of greenways, there's more and more walking tourism, as you mentioned there, people coming in.
Yes.
And a lot of these people come in very well equipped and wearing all the right sort of clothing and footwear, and yet accidents can happen. And there is a concern now as to, you know, we've had one claim, could there be others?
Well, I think we have to look at the judgment that the judge came up with, and in her judgment she stated that because this structure was put there by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, if you put a structure in, you're under a much higher duty of care then to make sure that it's in good condition, and you know, you have a bigger risk if an accident does happen on it. And apparently, I read in the case, because I went through it thoroughly, the lady's barrister said that there is a sign somewhere along the way encouraging people to stay on the walkway, you know, to let the both sides of the mountain regenerate after the amount of erosion that had happened, so that she was actually directed in on the walkway.
And just to recap the situation with regard to farmers who may have people strolling across their land as a shortcut to a beach, maybe in a coastal area. You know, if somebody does have an accident on your land, public liability insurance can come into play.
Yes. Well, look, I'm no legal expert, far from a legal expert, but my understanding is that if somebody comes in on your land uninvited, you have no duty of care towards them. You know, if somebody is just hops across a gate or opens the gate and walks in without your invitation, that you have no duty of care towards those people. That's my understanding. Now, there is a number of walkways has been established in the country. IFA, back in when Neil O'Leary was the national chairman of the IFA Hill Committee, there was the walkway scheme was established. And I think nationally there's 40 walkways operating on the dash. But what happens with those ones is, whatever county they're in, the local authority of that county, they pick up, if a claim was to happen, that they would pick up the tab on that, and the landowner has no responsibility towards, you know, that the landowner's not exposed, put it like that. We have one on our own land here. It was one of the very first ones to be established in the country, and it's a very well used one, because it goes towards Lugnaquilla. You know, it's access to Lugnaquilla Mountain, the highest mountain in Leinster. We are covered by Wicklow County Council indemnify our walkway. So, you know, if something was to happen there, well, look, at it's no skin off our nose. But I suppose the worrying thing is this is the first case that has been, you know, this is the first case that has been taken, and the first award has been made, I think, since the Occupiers Liability Act. So it's caused a lot of anxiety for landowners, and obviously it would cause a lot of anxiety.
I'm speaking with IFA Hill Committee Chairman Pat Dunn. There's no doubt about it, we're getting an increased number of tourists who are coming on activity holidays and adventure holidays, and Donegal is a county that's beginning to reap the benefits from this. The development of walkways, I mean, the IFA advice, I suppose, is you should do things through agreement and work with those around you.
Exactly, yes. And look, we're going to have to bring this up with Colin and Tootie, that's the National Recreational Body. We're going to have to bring this up with Colin and Tootie and make sure that the landowner is indemnified, you know, that where a case may arise, that the landowner will be indemnified and not have a fear hanging over them. Because, you know, the big fear farmers have is if somebody was to take a case, that you would, you know, even to defend it and win the case yourself, that still costs a lot of money in legal fees for to do that, and it costs a lot of anxiety, obviously. So there has to be reassurances that landowners will be indemnified if a case may be taken against them.
Also, all over the country now, we're seeing the development of these greenways, often along former railway routes. The Great Western Greenway in Mayo is the shining example, and a huge spin-off there. And I know in Donegal they're looking at a number of old routes. One of them that's been mentioned is Letterkenny to Burtonport, and following what was an old narrow-gauge line. And some parts of the line are still in state ownership. Some have... Well, there might be a grey area as to who owns some areas, but let's face it, I mean, this is something that we're going to see more and more of. And again, cooperation is key.
Yeah, well, obviously the same rules would have to apply. you know, obviously the same rules would have to apply to those greenways and areas like that. Like, if the local, if a landowner is good enough for to give the goodwill or the permission for these things to go ahead, they can't be held responsible then if something was to go wrong.
Now, maybe just turning away from that particular subject, maybe you can just give us a brief update. The commonage management plans, a couple of little things happening there?
Well, I suppose the few things that's happening there is for the lot scheme, one concession we have achieved there from the department is our last meeting with the department, we secured a concession from them that the planner doesn't have to determine the maximum eligible area anymore. Like, previously the planner would have to come out and assess the commonage, and if he deemed that there was a certain area to be taken out for loss, you know, that wasn't eligible, that he would take that out. And, you know, sometimes what the planner was taking out and what the landowner thought he should be taking out, you know, wasn't always adding up. So the planner doesn't have to do that now. So it's there's concession there. We have a few concessions as well, you know, around the maximum stocking density, things like that. The maximum stocking density is not an issue anymore. So we've secured a few concessions from them on those sort of things.
And initially,
we continue to work with them and you know, try and put as much pressure as we can. Obviously, we're in a bit of a limbo now, you know, waiting for a new government to be established, and we'd be looking forward to getting an early meeting then with the new Minister for Agriculture whenever they're appointed.
Mm.
And I suppose the other thing, of course, the whole burning of vegetation, that was something that we fought hard for to get the dates changed on that, getting brought into line with Northern Ireland and across the water in England. But the previous minister, or she's still the acting minister, I suppose, Heather Humphreys, the Minister for Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, she got the ball rolling on that, but unfortunately she got timed out on it and the ball was dissolved. She did get it through the Senate, and we lobbied the senators, and it was passed very decisively in the Senate, but the Dáil was dissolved then before it was got back to the Dáil. So as soon as we have a new government in place, we'll be going back in there for to try and get that reenacted, and hopefully we'll be trying to push that one forward as well, because we have secured the goodwill of the three main political parties. You know, we had secured the goodwill or commitments from Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. I suppose Labour was the third main political party. I suppose they're not anymore, but look at, we have their commitment anyhow. So we'll be pursuing that one as well as soon as we can get a chance to do it.
Yep. And finally, Pat Dunn, IFA Hill Committee Chairman, the old disadvantaged area payments, ANC payments, there were cuts there in over the last few years. Whoever is coming in to form the new government, no doubt the IFA will be pushing hard to get an increase in those payments.
Yes, well, we want to get those payments back up. You know, we're looking for a minimum, or I'm sorry, a maximum payment of 6,000. Back in the Fianna Fáil government that when the country ran into trouble, one of the first things they done was they took €1,000 off of the disadvantaged area payment, as it was known that time. It's now known as the ANC payment, or Area of Natural Constraint. But we're certainly, you know, the country seems to be in a better way now, and we're certainly going to be pushing that and seeing if we can get that pushed back up to where it was, or a bit better than where it was. because it's something that's very, very badly needed in the, you know, it's hill farmers have been going through a very lean period, you know, for a long time. So it's time that we started getting back some of the cuts that was taken off us.
IFA Hill Committee Chairman Pat Dunn. And onto the livestock prices. Hoggets up to €5.85 a kilo to 24 kilos. Spring lamb €6.50 a kilo up to 20 kilos. Ewes €3 to €3.30 a kilo. Cattle prices. Steers making €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Heifers €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. O-grade bulls €3.70 a kilo. U-grade bulls €3.90 a kilo. O-grade cows €3.25 a kilo. And R-grade €3.45 a kilo. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Farming News and Views. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.